You're listening to Equipped, the podcast that turns gaming concepts into life lessons. I'm your host, Isa Gonzalez, and each week, I'll show you different ways you can clear quests, fight boss battles, and level up, not only in-game, but also in real life. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the show. We are back with another episode of A Gamer's Take, and I'm really excited to introduce our guests for this week. They are actually my batchmate from DLSU, so we both studied biochemistry, and it's just gonna be interesting to be able to interview someone that I actually know. So hi there, Anne. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Isa. Thanks for having me.
And so I know that we have like a specific game that we're going to talk about today, but I'm really curious to know, like, how did your gaming journey actually begin?
I actually can't remember because I've been gaming since I was a child, but if I'm going to go into the deep recesses of my mind, and I think it was around, how old was I when I was in like the second grade, the second or the third grade? I was with my cousins, and my cousin had a Game Boy, and I was like, oh, what's that? And he's like, it's a Game Boy, this is Pokemon. And I said, what's a Pokemon? And then he let me watch him play Pokemon. I believe it was Pokemon Fire Red. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what are all these beautiful animals? So I guess for me, like, since I was a kid who just knew TV and the computer, seeing something that was kind of like a TV display, but you could control it. Like, my third grade self was like, I need one.
Right.
I can't afford it, but I need one.
It's like a mini TV in your hands, and then you get to press the buttons to make something move.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, it's like I'm doing stuff on TV. And then it was so, I don't know, the concept was so novel to me at the time. Mm-hmm. So like, I would just like watch my cousin play, like, you know, every time that I could, until he went back to the United States.
Oh no. Oh no, they're your but games. Like, they're
no,
gone.
No, but then I think it was a year or two later that I got that exact Game Boy as a birthday gift.
Oh nice.
With Pokemon Fire Red.
Nice.
And the other games that he had that he didn't show me, because like I was so intrigued with Fire Red. And I was like, oh, I can finally make my dreams come true. I'm gonna be a Pokemon master.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. It brings like a lot of memories for me too. I remember my older brother had a Game Boy, and I was also just like watching him play until he eventually, like, I think he was just guilted into like letting me play. Because my mom was like, hey, share. You have to share with your little sister. And then I was also fascinated by how small and compact it was. I liked the fact that it was foldable. And I don't know. Right? I don't know. That's just like a fun thing to do. And when you open it and you hear the ringtone, oh, so nice. And so you started off, you know, I think on a, like a similar footing as to most of the people that I've interviewed so far, like with Pokemon and a console.
Yeah.
And how did that sort of evolve over time as you started to grow up?
I think it also evolved with like the consoles that were available to me. So like I started with the Game Boy, so I'm kind of biased towards Nintendo. I'm not a capitalist, but like but like I'm kind of biased towards Nintendo because like that's where I started, for the lack of a better term. So from the games that I had on hand, that was Pokemon. I had Sonic. I know I had Sonic, but I never finished it. I am so sorry.
That's fine.
And I had the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. And then I got a DS.
Ooh, nice.
And then I was even more intrigued because I can touch things on the screen now.
Yeah. It was like the next step to technology.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was the proper advancement of technology indeed.
I love it. I love it. And so you mentioned that you're pretty, you know, leaning towards Nintendo a lot more. And so what do you think is about Nintendo, not only like the console itself, but also that the games that they provide? What is it that really appeals to you?
I think it's the wide range of genres that they release. Mm. I think that they're known for their famous titles. So like RPGs, like Pokemon, like Mario, Super Smash Brothers even. Mm. But they also have like tactical games like Fire Emblem. And I'm going to speak from my experience now, like since I have a Switch and all, and that's where I play now. I like how they also provide a platform for indie developers. So like, for example, like Supergiant Games, they have Hades, and there's also this really great game that I've been playing. It's called Coffee Talk. Oh. I don't play it on the Switch, though. I play it on Steam.
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting. I just heard the word coffee, and I'm like, I'm interested. What is it about?
Oh, you should play Coffee Talk. You are a barista, and you basically make drinks. You're a barista. You make drinks because you own this coffee shop that's only open. The premise of it is you're a barista, and your coffee shop is only open in the wee hours of the night.
Okay.
And you meet, and you get all sorts of customers, and you get to listen to their stories. So while you're serving up their drinks, you get to hear like parts of their life, and it's great. It's a chill game, really good soundtrack. You should listen to it.
Nice, nice. I'll definitely check it out on Steam. Oh my, because I don't have a Switch, unfortunately. Sad beans. But yeah, thanks for sharing that. And you mentioned that the reason why. Well, at least one of the reasons why like Nintendo appeals to you is their wide variety of genres. And I'm really curious, do you happen to have any favorite genres yourself?
I'd say RPGs. I mean, because that's where I started. Mm-hmm. But I also like trying my hand at like puzzle games, visual novels, or tactical games. So like, I know I mentioned Fire Emblem as a strategy game. Visual novels or detective games like Ace Attorney, Professor Layton.
Oh.
You know, stuff that gets me thinking, because I need my brain cells for my job. So if I can get games that make me think, then why not?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's like you want to be able to stimulate your brain, but it's not in the sense that you'll settle for just, you know, watching on a screen or watching, let's say, a video or a movie on like Facebook or Netflix. With games, there's like a different kind of stimulation that goes on, because like with the puzzles and strategy games, you really have to use your brain cells basically. And it's like, it's not just about watching something static. You really have to also interact with a lot of elements on it. And I also personally enjoy the puzzle games, like the really casual ones. I had this episode, it was about this game called Minion Masters, and it's like a card strategy game, and I describe it as the game that stimulates my brain in a good way. And so I can totally relate to that. And so like right now, you've graduated college, you've been working, and looking back on your journey, your gaming journey in particular, how do you think gaming has influenced who you are today?
Why do I feel like that's a Miss Universe level question?
I'm judge number zero.
Oh, guys, cast in your votes right now.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, like, because I don't know. I feel like as someone that has, you know, had gaming as some part of their life, the games evolve, like video games as an industry also have evolved, but at the same time, we have also evolved as humans. And so I really want to pick your brain a bit and see how gaming has sort of shaped you into who you are today, or at least not completely shaped you, but at least has influenced you in some type of way?
I'd say that it's impacted my life in the sense that when you play when you pick up a game and you play through it, you will get lessons out of it. You will learn something out of it, like regardless of what game it is. Like, honestly, like even a game like Solitaire, you will learn something from it. You will learn patience. I mean, for me, like if we're gonna stray a little bit and go back to like the classics, Solitaire, I learned that each deck of cards, like each deck, you will not win every time. Like for me, like I remember, like I was a kid and I was really frustrated because like, why can't I get the cards that I need? But I kept like reshuffling the deck and I kept restarting. I guess one of my first lessons from games was you have to learn how to play with the cards that you're dealt. Mm-hmm. If we're talking in the context of like card games and solitaire and stuff. So that's one. And I think that's also impacted how I am, because we can't control everything. And seeing as how I'm a person who likes to be in control of like whatever whatever situation I'm in, it's difficult to grow out of the mindset that you have to be in control of something.
Right.
But if you learn to accept that you can't, that it's inevitable that you will not be able to control everything in your life, then it's going to get easier to adapt to situations. Right?
Yeah.
Adaptability is also something that I've learned. The way that my quick thinking is like stimulated, it's kind of something that I also see myself applying, like day-to-day situations. Like if something suddenly goes wrong, how do I do it? I guess the usual first instinct would be to freak out, right? It's a reaction. It's a reaction. It's something that's instinct. But the way that you respond to situations, so like how will you adapt to this, how will you adapt to this malfunction, how will you adapt to this unexpected mishap that you're encountering, it's not always easy, but if you're able to do it in games, I'm pretty sure you're able to do it in real life, except for crazy Assassin's Creed Part 4. I think you'll need years of training for that.
Using the grappling hook.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love what you just said, that you can react on a whim, but you can still choose how to respond. And that sort of sets like a boundary between the initial reactions that you have and then the actual step that you want to take, like given the situation that you are now currently in. I think that's a great distinction that a lot of people could benefit from, because I personally, when you were talking about control earlier, I was just like recalling all the times that I wanted to control my life and I only wanted this exact thing to happen in this exact way. And it is like very, very limiting to some extent, because you're just not going to feel comfortable doing anything else. And like you said, adaptability is really, really important, because we live in a world that will change. Whether we like it or not, this world will move. It's going to keep changing based on whatever happens. And we just have to try our best to keep up in some way. And you mentioned earlier that you relatively enjoy RPGs. And so why not dabble into one of the games that you've been playing, or at least one of the games that you've mentioned to me already, which is Breath of the Wild. And so when did you exactly start playing Breath of the Wild?
I first started playing when I was hanging out with my friends, and one of my friends has a Switch. He brought his Switch. And I was like, bro, you have Breath of the Wild, right? And he was like, yeah, do you want to play it? And I'm like, yes, please. I would like to play it very, very much. So I spent like a good hour, half hour, just getting lost. Like legit getting lost, because Breath of the Wild is an open world game, right? And I spent like a good hour just learning the controls, getting lost, falling to my death, getting beaten to death by monsters. It was fantastic.
Oh, is there fall damage in that game?
Yeah, and the fall damage, like, it's amazing. Like, if you roll down the mountain, you keep getting damage.
Oh, amazing.
You get damage from the rolls.
It's practical.
It's amazing. I love it.
What year was this when you first started playing the game?
Late 2018. And then when I got my Switch, it was like early to mid 2019.
Okay.
And the first game I bought was Breath of the Wild.
Nice. And so what was it about this game that sort of got you hooked?
I could go on about like a lot of elements, like technical elements of the game, but I'm no game analyst. Like I can't be like, it's the open world game that's like, that literally lets you do whatever the hell you want. It's the game with like the bomb ass soundtrack. It's, oh my God. I will take a moment. Can I take a moment?
Yeah. To, like,
I don't know, appreciate the soundtrack because like, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. Like I had friends who like, they got Breath of the Wild before I did. And I know one of them said something about Breath of the Wild not having like a music as good as the previous Zelda game. But when I was playing, I was like, I mean, it's the Breath of the Wild. If I'm gonna go like pretend game analyst on this, the soundtrack, it's so appropriate for the game in the sense that the sound design was also amazing. I love it. Oh my God. Oh, I'm just gonna spend like, if I spend the next hour like talking nothing but like Breath of the Wild music, you can stop me, okay?
I feel the appreciation for the music though. I think that's what really matters.
Yeah, because it's ultimately a game of exploration. The game basically starts with Link, you wake up from a very deep sleep and you're in this like stasis pod or something. Like they call it the Shrine of Resurrection. So Link was apparently put there to sleep for 100 years to recuperate from his wounds in the last battle that they had. So when Link wakes up after that 100 years, he's guided by the voice of Zelda to, you know, to like get out of the shrine, put some clothes on, go out, because you need to go, you need to help me. and so you're basically playing as Link, a guy who's been asleep for 100 years, probably still kind of weak from like, you know, all the years of sleep. What is that called? It's
like when your muscles don't, you know, get how used.
Yeah. Right, like, if
I don't remember the term for it, but I know there's a term for it.
it's a physiology thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh. College days.
right. If we have blockmates watching, we forgot the terms. We're sorry.
Our bad.
Hello. Right. So yeah, you have Link. He's been asleep for 100 years. He's an amnesiac. Also. He doesn't have memories of what happened 100 years ago. So it's kind of like you and Link are exploring Hyrule together because you know like as much as he does about the world.
Mm.
You know as much as he does about, you know, the history of what happened.
Yeah.
So you and Link are like exploring this vast wilderness together. And open world with incredible soundtrack, incredible ambience, incredible sound design. It's just so good. You can practically hear your weapons like clinking against your back.
I love it when you games can hear that.
Yeah. You can hear the sound of the wind. You can hear the rustling of the grass, trees. You can hear the wildlife and the monsters even. Even the monsters have life. Like, they hunt for their food. They dance around in a campfire and all that stuff. So it's like, And
so it's like they'll only attack you if you choose to attack them first. Is that sort of thing?
If they hear you,
Okay, gotcha.
If they spot you, like, they're gonna go, "Don't get our stuff, man," or "We just don't like you."
Nice, nice. Thank you for being so descriptive, because honestly, there's like this image in my head. Like, I know how Link looks. I know how the cover of Breath of the Wild looks. So I'm just like trying to imagine it all in my head, and I kind of feel bad that I don't get to play it. That's still on my mind. Get an emulator. Yeah, I'll consider.
Get an emulator, Iza. It's on Wii U.
I'll consider it, definitely. And you mentioned earlier that with this story, like, you play as Link and you both don't understand, like, what the hell is going on. And it's an exploration game. Like, you really get to discover and unravel things the more that you look around and the more that you wander and interact with whatever that world has to offer. And so there's really this sense of discovery that's important to the game. And I'm curious, because as much as you discovered, you know, the world, like Hyrule, and understood more about what was happening, was there also something that you discovered about yourself as you were playing this game?
I discovered that I'm a sucker for video game music. That's one. but apart from that,
we need good sound design, guys. It's a necessity.
Yes, definitely, definitely. The sound is what brings the game. I mean, for me, okay, that's a personal, like, guys, don't come for me, okay? Something that I discovered about myself when I was playing Breath of the Wild is I was on this journey with Link. I think I mentioned before that I learned some stuff, like, from games, and those learnings are things that I've kept in the back of my mind for, like, until now. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the things that stuck with me since playing Breath of the Wild, or like until now even, because I'm still playing it, is it's been able to reinforce the adaptability concept to me, because in this game, their weapon system is that all of your weapons are breakable.
Mm-hmm.
All of your shields are breakable. All of your bows are breakable. I did actually hear that, like, a lot of people were frustrated about the system because, like, they can't hack away at the monsters, like, as much as they want. But I found it a really good concept, because it teaches you how to think of stuff on the fly. So, like, for example, your strongest weapon breaks, so you have to probably settle for this tree branch.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Oh no, your tree branch breaks. What do you do? So you could, like, throw bombs, you could smash metal, boxes on monsters' heads, and, like, the game will kill that monster after you smash the metal box on its head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reinforced adaptability and versatility to me with the tools that you have or with things around you. What's your approach to the problem that you're encountering right now? And again, I think that's a fundamental in life, because we all know that there's no guide to our life. Unfortunately, we will never know how it ends. We will never know what the future holds. We can think about it, we can fantasize about it, we can plan for it, but the future is uncertain, and the only thing that we can control is the present. So if you're able to respond to whatever life throws at you at this moment, it's how you're able to use whatever outcome and make it something impactful, make it something worthwhile. That's for real life, and also for Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
Because say that you're facing a really tough monster in Breath of the Wild, and what if you can prepare as much as you want, but you will never know that you can defeat the monster. This goes for, like, all the big bad monsters that you can fight in Breath of the Wild, or, like, any monster, I guess, in general. You can prepare for it as much as you want. That's fine. But you will never know that you can defeat the monster until you actually go for it. So it's also taught me that it's obviously normal to prepare for things, but the most important part about venturing into something unfamiliar or venturing into a new endeavor is taking the first step. Mm-hmm. You can make like all of the attack boosting food or elixirs that you want. You can get all of the great weapons, the great shields and arrows. You can get like all of the shock arrows and the bomb arrows that you want, but like they're just going to be sitting in your inventory until like you head up and face the Lionel or the four bosses or the Blight Ganons. Like, yeah, man, go take the first step.
Yeah, I love that. That's definitely true because, again, it's just going back to the whole wanting control. And obviously, if you want to control something, you already have this sort of blueprint that you want to follow, or you try to strategize, yeah, right? You plan as much as you can. But then none of that really matters if you're not going to be willing to follow through with action.
Yeah.
And yeah, I loved how you pointed that out, because in real life, we are going to face, I think, a lot more bosses, or not the actual employer boss. I mean, you guys get the analogy, right? Like, we're going to have boss battles out there. And like Anne said, we won't know for sure if we'll be able to defeat those bosses if we don't actually try. Sometimes we can get caught up in the nitty-gritty aspects of life, like the technical aspects, like, oh, this isn't ready yet. I don't feel prepared yet. And though those are normal emotions, at the end of the day, what really matters is if we choose to act or not. And so thank you for that, Anne. And you mentioned that you started playing Breath of the Wild in around 2018 because you're a friend. And until now, it's 2022, it's still a game that you're currently playing. And so what is it about this game that you just keep going back to?
Well, I like exploring. And, well, given the situation that we're in right now, it's the way that I think about this game is whenever I need a place to breathe, or I need a place to, you know, like just get lost somewhere, you know, go beat up some monsters, go bully some monsters or something, go catch a horse, Hyrule will always be there for me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a place that I can retreat to if things get overwhelming, or if like I just really need to breathe, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's amazing that you have that sort of safe space, and you found it in the form of this particular video game. And it sort of ties into, like, you know, the world is still pretty much insane right now, and a lot of us do need to have those moments of safety and moments of calmness. And it doesn't really matter, you know, if it's a video game or not, but it gives importance to the fact that despite the things that are going on, we need to take care of ourselves. And if that means having a space where we can, you know, sort of detach ourselves from whatever is going on and give us some time or space to breathe, as Anne mentioned, then it's definitely going to be beneficial, right? Because when you have those moments of calmness, it sort of like recharges you in some way. Or because you're taking a breather, you're sort of getting some rest that you might not have been getting in like a few days or so. And that's why it's contributing to like that overwhelming feeling. And I'm curious now, because I feel like with the pandemic situation still going on, you know, a lot of us, or maybe there are some people out there that are still trying to find ways to cope. And so I'm curious, like, what is your take on coping, and why do you think it's so important that we find our own individual ways to cope?
If we're going to go with the Wikipedia definition of coping, I'm gonna read it out loud right now. Yes, I googled it just now. Let's see. According to Wikipedia, coping is conscious or unconscious strategies used to reduce unpleasant emotions. Coping strategies can be cognitions or behaviors, and can be individual or special, which, yes, that is what I do when I cope. Coping is, I think, if you're gonna, like, personally ask me, like, without the Wikipedia definition and whatnot, I think coping is the space that we give ourselves before we process extreme stuff, like extreme emotions, extreme events, that's for me. Or it can just be the space that we give to ourselves before we like handle certain conflicts, no matter how big. If you know it's something that you can't process in your current headspace, mm-hmm. then that's the time you'll need to find a way to breathe, to just detach yourself from that whirlwind of that is your current headspace, and just be for a while before you dive back. I mean, I'm no psychologist, but I think we need it, because really turbulent emotions can cloud our judgment.
Yeah.
And if your state of mind isn't all that great, I mean in the sense that there's a lot racing through your mind, you're experiencing like a whirlwind of emotions, it's gonna be hard to make a rational decision, mm-hmm. in the sense that there will be several factors affecting how you approach whatever conflict, problem, or whatever it is that you have to face at that moment. So in order to prevent ourselves from making decisions that we regret, I guess we'd kind of need to give ourselves that space. One, to breathe. Breathing is very important. Please keep
keep breathing.
Isa, breathe, okay?
Oh my gosh.
I think it's, yeah, like we need to give ourselves that space, because when you're in that overwhelming, turbulent headspace, there will come a point where you may start feeling negatively about yourself, because there will be those times where, you know, things happen, and if you're in that bad headspace, there may come a point where you might start questioning yourself, like, why is this happening to me? Why am I, or like, what is happening here? What did I do? What am I doing? It's going to further add to whatever is going on in the recesses of your mind. And that's not going to make things any better. Believe me, it really won't. So to cope with, or to handle, I guess, that bombshell of unpleasant emotions, you need to detach yourself first. Give yourself that calm. Cope by giving yourself that space or that time to calm down, breathe, drink some water, go watch, I don't know, go watch cat videos or dog videos or plant videos if you're not an animal person. In the context of this podcast, go play video games. lose yourself for a while. Forget about it for, I guess, even if it's just for, if it's super urgent, maybe forget about it for 5 minutes. 5 minutes will do a lot.
Right.
And when you feel you're less, or your emotions are less heightened, you're kind of calm, then try tackling the problem again. See what happens. You may make a decision that's more sound, rather than like listening to your very heightened emotions and your impulsive thoughts. Because I did mention a reaction versus response. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
If you're in a heightened emotional state, I think the tendency is you would go with your reaction, because that's all you're thinking of, right?
For sure.
But if you take some time to calm down and whatnot, then you would be able to formulate a proper response, as opposed to like basing it off of gut reactions.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I liked what you said about it's important to be able to detach yourself for a bit, because when things seem chaotic, when they seem all over the place, we need to approach them level-headed, like yeah. with a leveled head. And in order to do that, though, we sort of have to allow ourselves to not think about it for a while. And this is something that I personally struggled with as well. I struggled with a lot of things. Oh my gosh. But like, it's true, because if you don't give yourself some time or some space to process your emotions, like what Anne said earlier, you will most likely just react to everything. And reacting isn't always the best way to go, because if you're super sad, you might make a decision that you wouldn't make if you were happy. If you're super happy and you have all these exhilarating feelings, then when those feelings die down, you might think that, oh wait, that might have not been the best decision, because now things aren't like in the same light anymore, and you have to consider a lot more factors. Anne mentioned something about being rational, and I think it's so important that we can find a balance between using our emotions and also using our minds. Those two need to be used hand in hand. Like, we can't just make decisions out of emotions, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be a good thing either if we only stay rational and we don't take into consideration how we're feeling or how other people are feeling. And I'm curious, because I can imagine that maybe someone's listening to this and they want to be able to find a coping mechanism. And obviously, we all have our different ways of coping. That's definitely okay. But do you have any takes on, like, what's your distinguishing factor between a coping mechanism that's healthy and one that's not so healthy?
I'd say that it becomes unhealthy when it's hard for you to detach. I mean, detach from that mechanism to go back to reality. I guess you have to remember that this is temporary, or rather, you're using video games to give yourself some space. But when it comes to a point that you're okay already, when you feel that your headspace is kind of reset, you kind of have to go back to life, because time won't stop. Unlike in video games, unfortunately, where you turn off the console, or you save, you turn off the console, and time will stop for that game. There is no save option in real life. So the clock is ticking, and our time will run out. And if you detach so much to the point that you become dependent on it, or when this coping mechanism is taken away from you and you kind of start to lose all focus, or if it comes to a point where your coping mechanism is actually making your day-to-day life much worse. Say your productivity goes down the drain because you've been escaping so much. That's when it becomes unhealthy, because it blurs the boundary between escaping just to breathe and escaping because you really don't want to deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, harsh as it seems, we have to deal with our lives. We can run away as much as we want, but at some point we will have to go back to whatever we're running away from. I mean, life's harsh, man. There is no save file. That's actually a nice quote. I'm proud of you, Soph.
We're gonna quote
There is no save file in real life, unfortunately. You can't load the save file in real life. I think you were the one who mentioned this before, right? In one of your episodes, there are no do-overs in life.
Yeah. What was that episode title? Life's alternate endings.
I think it was four.
Yeah,
or five,
somewhere there.
Right? One of the earlier ones. Yeah. But yeah, like how there are no do-overs. So like, if it's game over, it's game over. Similarly. Well, that's kind of like for when we die. Okay, so like when we die, we die. But I guess like in the middle of our lives, or like as our lives are progressing, we cannot save at any point and like reload when we mess up. We kind of have to deal with whatever mess ups we do. But like, it's okay to run away from those mess ups if it becomes too much to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to escape for a little bit, but please come back to it. It's still waiting for you.
Yeah.
Don't let it wait. It might evolve into something worse.
Yeah, I love the analogies that you just said. There is this, like, yes, we're allowed to detach ourselves from a situation to create this room to breathe and to just seek a state of calmness every once in a while, or however you please. But what Anne said earlier is so crucial, because we can detach, but we have to remember to go back to reality. And it's that part, it's that going back to reality part that's really, really important because, yeah, there are things that are going to be waiting for us. We can run from everything as much as we can, but it's always going to be there. And it's only until we address it, you know, hopefully in also another healthy way, that it's gonna, that the situation can actually start improving. Because the more you run from things, it's sort of like you're holding things in the palm of your hands. And then the more that you run, it starts to feel heavier and heavier. But once you acknowledge the heaviness that you're holding or that you're feeling, you now have a chance to start working on ways or to start finding ways that you can let it go or, yeah, like address it. And it's, I guess that is a reminder for all our listeners out there that we can find those coping mechanisms, but they still have to be healthy. And like Anne said, we shouldn't let it make our day-to-day lives worse. Thank you so much for that, Anne. And I guess before we head off, like, what would be your last piece of encouragement or advice for anyone that's just been feeling overwhelmed or just been having a rough time these days?
I've been reading this self-help book. It's called You Will Get Through This Night. It's by Daniel Howell, if you know the YouTuber Daniel Howell. So he wrote a mental health guide where he shared his own struggles with his depression and his anxiety. And I like this because he consulted with a psychologist. So this is a scientifically backed, and I like it.
Nice.
Yeah. I use it on top of my therapy and like seeing my psychiatrist, and it's helped me quite a bit. He breaks down dealing with your mental health in three parts. Basically, it's called This Night, Tomorrow Night, and The Days After. Mm. This one is the last part of This Night. So he says, tomorrow is a new day, whether it's literally one night or some hard times. If you can make it through, you will get another chance to try again. And or I think it ties back to the whole escapism concept, because if you can escape, yes. And if it can help you get through the day, that's okay. But remember that there is always tomorrow. So like, prepare yourself for tomorrow. You can give yourself some space, give yourself the escape that you need, but remember that there is still tomorrow and you have to face the day. Okay? And please, please, if you're going through hard times, please, if you're going through hard times, please see someone that you trust, a therapist even, or whatever crisis hotline that you guys have wherever you are. Times are hard because pandemic and all that, and it's affected our mental health so bad. So I know this is cliche, but remember that you are not alone. Keep your communication open because it will help so much. And well, if your communication is open and you can't find someone to talk to, know that there is always games. So if you wanna, you can go play your favorite video game and be with your favorite characters. Like, go on an adventure if you want to. Like, when I'm going through another episode, my default is Hyrule, obviously. But man, sometimes I find myself going back to Assassin's Creed, where like I'm going on this journey of atonement with Edward Kenway and Shay Cormac, or I'm playing Fire Emblem, and I'm stepping into the life of a professor with Byleth, or I go to Ace Attorney and I'm defending a lot of people as Phoenix Wright, acquitting people like accused of murder and all that. And yeah, again, like, you go on an adventure if you think that it will help you get the space that you need away from reality. Maybe you'll learn something along the way. But at the end of your journey, take what lessons that you have and bring it back in the real world where everyone is waiting for you.
Beautiful, beautiful. There you have it, you guys. Remember to take care of yourselves, especially during these difficult times. And when you're ready, don't forget to come back to the world that you are a part of and your life. Don't forget to come back to your life. And because remember, there's always tomorrow. And so thank you so much, Anne, for that.
Thank you too.
And I don't know if you noticed, but on the show, like at the end of every episode, I like to ask or I like to let the listeners reflect on their own. And so as our guest for this week, what do you think is a question that you would want to leave our listeners to ponder on?
Seeing as we talked about how to get through how to get through tough times and escapism, I think mine would be, how do you escape? And if I could put a follow-up, how would you tether yourself back to reality after that escape, after that adventure journey?
Awesome, awesome. There you have it, you guys. How would you escape? But at the same time, how would you tether back to reality? Because again, that's the important part. And so thank you so much, Anne, for enlightening us today. Thank you. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. It's been a while. And I don't know if you would want me because on this part, I just plug everyone. Would you want me to include your social media in the description box? Because I know you want to like protect your privacy and stuff. But
yeah.
I guess, is there like any... Because I know that you're writing, or you said that you were going to create some more content about this more in depth as well. And so would you want to plug that?
I'm working on a personal project. I've been going through a really rough time lately. I was amazed at how much games actually helped me. Games and other media, so like anime and podcasts even. And I kind of wanted to like try my hand at seeing or like going more in depth of how exactly specific games helped me cope with my mental health. But again, I'm not sure if I'm gonna publicize it, but I will let you know. For my social media, you can find me on Research Games.
Oh my gosh. I love this plug. Guys, go to ResearchGate. I'll leave the link in the description box.
Oh man. Okay, but like for real, like okay, fine. Other social media. Okay, yes, please, ResearchGate. I need the views. No, I'm kidding. I have a Twitter. Isa can leave it there. It's at Vanadium. It's in all caps, and the I is a small letter L because we cool like that. I have a Discord. I'm anionic tonic numbers on Discord. Actually, you can just message Isa.
I'll leave it all in the description box. Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
If I don't know, like, I actually think, because like I personally think that I'm not the only one who uses games to like, you know, cope with my mental health. So if anyone wants to chat more about it, because like I'm interested in hearing how other people do as well. And honestly, if y'all want to talk in general, like if you need someone to talk to, honestly, y'all can hit me up too. Don't worry.
Thank you so much, Anne. That's really, really thoughtful. And guys, again, ResearchGate. Click the link in the description box. Go read their research. And so please do let us know your answers by sharing them on Clever FM. And speaking of which, I want to give a huge shout out to the person with the username fishy_. fishy_, if you're listening to this, please let me know what your name is. And so, yeah, but that person has been commenting on the past episodes the past couple of weeks, and I really, really appreciate it. And if you guys want to be featured in the next episode, please hop on to Clever FM and share your insights, your takeaways, or your comments on the episodes over there. And so that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great week ahead. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy, but also stay equipped.